Ernest, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it can be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. Kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit. Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise flagship fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4x points on your top two eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4x points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, welcome back.
Yes, yes.
Yes, we have a special guest today.
Indeed.
Rosina.
Yes.
J. Pierce. Say everything correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right. Better known as the Biz Lawyer on Instagram.
Very important.
Large social media following. Would you have like 150,000 followers, something like that?
Yeah, it's like lightweight.
Light? Nah, 150,000 people. That's a lot of people.
For sure.
I'm sure y'all got like a million followers. So.
I'm not sure what we have, but that's a major. Like,
well,
don't diminish that. Don't diminish that light.
Yeah, sure. You're right.
So a leading trademark attorney.
Important.
The CEO of R.J. Pierce Law Group, PC, mm-hmm. in Chicago. She's filed over 5,000 trademarks in her career. And was ranked number 15 in the U.S. trademarking lawyer rankings. Is that correct?
Yes, out of over 33,000 trademark attorneys in the country.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, you've dedicated to teaching trademarking to the community. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. We've covered it a few times, but it's always good to kind of have a refresher and touch different topics that we may not have spoken about before. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me. Thank you all for sharing your platform with me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
No problem.
All right. So let's start. Where does it start? You're from Chicago?
I am from Chicago, the west side of Chicago.
West side.
West side, okay. Yes.
You're one of the few people, everybody that we have a lot of relationships in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great market for us.
It is.
But everybody that I've ever met from Chicago has been from the south side.
I understand that.
Very. I have not.
Kind of fits with the brand.
You might be one of the first people I've ever met that
from the west side. Next time you come to Chicago, I could probably take you on a tour or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be out there. You know who Ross Mack is?
No.
I don't know Ross Mack. I saw a guy. He's from Chicago. He's a financial influencer, I would say. He used to work on Wall Street. Chicago's a vibe.
We like it
Lake
there.
Michigan?
We like it there.
Yeah. It's a beautiful city. And sometimes it gets overshadowed by the negativity. And, you know, people will have you thinking like we're walking outside stepping on over dead bodies. And that's really not the case at all. And it's so crazy because, you know, people are always surprised that I'm from the west side of Chicago, because I feel like even from being from the west side, we get the worst slack ever. But I know some great people doing some great things. And I do have to be transparent. I did leave Chicago in 2017. So I live in Atlanta, Georgia now. But, you know, it's still an amazing... Chicago will always be home to me. Every time I always correct people and be like, yeah, I live in Atlanta, but I'm from Chicago.
Chicago. Shout out to
Let
Chicago.
Let it be known in.
Yes.
So, all right. So, yeah. So how do you even get started in becoming a lawyer? And why specifically trademark law as opposed to any other type of law?
Yeah, so growing up on the west side of Chicago, I was exposed to the criminal justice system very early through my father and my brothers, because they were, you know, arrested. And so we would have to, you know, go to the county jail or go to court to see what's going to happen with them. And then my dad ironically started working for a law firm as an investigator. And so around 5 years old, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer, just being in that environment. I didn't know what type of law I wanted to do until I got a little older. Around high school, I figured I want to do something international business, because I wanted to travel a lot. Mm. And then eventually I decided in undergrad, I wanted to pick intellectual property law. And I picked trademark law. The crazy thing is, though, my dad always had in his mind that I was going to be a criminal attorney. He like, I know all the judges at the county jail. Like, you know, I'm going to get you so many clients. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. And even after being out of law school for the first 3 to 4 years, my daddy would still call me and be like, I know somebody in jail right now. You could go help him
now. Where'd you go to law school?
I went to law school at the John Marshall Law School in Chicago, which is now UIC.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you decide that you want to do trademarking law.
Mm-hmm.
You get out. You start working for a firm, or how do you start your professional career?
So I had a very ironic situation. I took all my intellectual property classes, got straight A's, finished law school with like a 3.5 GPA, but had no job offers. And by the way, at the time, I had three kids, and my son was 11, my daughter was 7, and I had a 5-month-old baby. And so I was studying for the bar with three kids at home and took the bar, passed it on the first time.
Shout out to that.
Thank you so much. I was even on the intellectual property law review, and it was 14 of us on there, and only 2 of us was Black, and we were the only 2 that had no job offers. And so that was very depressing, because it's like, you know, when you're leaving law school, it's like being drafted into the pros. Like, everybody got a job offer, and I was, and you know, the other person who was my color did not have a job offer. And so I just remember I took the bar in February, the end of February. We didn't get the results until April, but it was my first time just sitting at home and being still. And because I've been working and going to school since I was 14 years old. And so I was just like, oh my God, what am I going to do if I pass, if I fail? I found out I passed in April. And then I had to take a professional responsibility course where I got sworn in with the bar with a professor. And I was like, you know what? I don't have any job offers. I realize I love being at home when my kids come home from school, but I always wanted to be a lawyer. So what does my life just stop because I don't have a job offer? And he said, well, what practice area do you want to practice in? I said, I want to do intellectual property law, which at the time, back in 2013, I thought I had to either work for a big corporation or a big law firm because they were the ones investing in intellectual property. And he said, you know, you will go a long way serving the underserved. And I said, wait, I don't want to do criminal law because I have a history with that just personally. And he was like, no, like who is underserved in the practice area you want to practice in? And it took me a moment to think about it. And I said, small business owners? And he said, yes, you'll go a long way serving them. And I was like, you know what? You're so right. And so I just started my own law practice. Like the seed wasn't planted that day to be an entrepreneur and start my own business. But out of necessity, I needed to start a business because I had to feed those kids. And people were calling my phone like, I need your help. They knew I was a lawyer. So it started off slow. But then, you know, once I got on Instagram, met a social media manager, things began to pick up and take off. And I just started to hire more people. Women that look like me, women that had kids, did not have job offers in the legal space, and offered them a job. And then 11 years later, now we're ranked number 40 out of over 28,000 trademark law firms in the country. And actually, it's so crazy because, you know, out of that list, they published the top 100, and I applied to 50 of those law firms to work at. And now my firm ranks above them. So I know that's a long answer to a short question, but that's how I got here.
That's God's plan. Exactly. I want to go back to 2013 because this is obviously almost beginning of Instagram. We're talking about information not being as readily as available.
Right.
This is pre-EYL. Mm-hmm. The market for trademark law, I mean, how aware are the clients that you're trying to actually acquire, right? Because most people, I would assume, are like, why do I need that? Why is it important to my business? How are you getting the clients and how are you educating them at the time?
Not aware at all. And I use my social media. At the time, when I got on Instagram, I didn't know any other lawyer on the platform doing what I was doing and just talking about and educating. And I knew I had to go where the people was, right? But also in 2014, 2015, I wasn't only just doing trademarks. I was doing business law. I was doing contracts. I was doing entertainment deals, anything like I can get my hands on as it related to business. But I knew I had to educate the people, and it stuck with me what the professor said, you'll go a long way serving the underserved. And at this time, you know, I think, you know, Barack Obama was still in office or whatever, and it's Black entrepreneurship. It's becoming relevant, but it's not as heavy as what it is today. And so I'm like, you know, there's conferences, there are small events that's happening, but not a lot, especially in my city, Chicago. And so I was like, I just got to go where people are. And I remember 2016, the Black Women's Expo in Chicago, and they did it a lot. And so I said, you know, I got to get people to my table to just talk to me. And so I rented like two of those big chairs that's now very popular, baby shower chairs. But at the time, no one was using those royalty chairs. And I was like, if I get the people to my booth, I can talk to them and explain to them why they need my services. And I remember being at home, and I never thought I'd leave Chicago. But that day at that event, it changed my life because women were approaching the booth like, girlfriend, where you get them chairs from? I need them chairs in my living room. What? And I was like, oh, you know, they're just rentals, but I'm a law firm. We offer business services. And, you know, if you have a business, you need your trademark. And women saying, well, probably girl, I work for the government. And now there's nothing wrong with working. And, I worked, and everything in corporate America helped transfer my skills and my business. But it was just like a sense of pride with that and dismissive. And it was like, you don't do wills? You don't do divorces? Oh, no, we can't talk. But let me know where you got them chairs from, though. And that's when I knew that I had to go a place where it was just like Black entrepreneurship was okay, right? Or Black excellence was just okay. And every time I had visited Atlanta, I felt that, right? Because I was going down for an event or something like that. So for me, it was just going where the people were and meeting them where they were and then trying to educate them and provide education.
So, all right. So let's get into this education bag. So why do business owners need to trademark their business before launching their business?
So I always ask people, will you build a house on land you don't own? I'm going to ask you guys, will you build a house on land you don't own?
I didn't.
No, right? Right? Because it makes sense, right? You're going to, before we build houses in America, right, we go and we do a title search on the land and make sure no one owns the lands. There's no liens on the land or anything like that. Because if we go and we just start building the house on land and we haven't cleared the land, the owner of the land can come tear that house down, mm-hmm. right? It's the same equivalent when it comes to building a business on a brand name and you don't own the name, right? And so being that I have been practicing this law over 10 years, I have seen where people have invested their 401k plans or took out money, you know, from their retirement to invest in product and marketing material only for it to be torn down by the rightful owner, right? So I tell people before we build brands and we build businesses, we want to make sure we're clearing the name and we're actually owning that name. So everything that we're building on top of it is ours now.
Okay. So if we got to get the name to make sure that we own it, what, where are we going to search for this? Like, are there specific sites? I feel like most people have no idea. They'll just type in trademark, whatever Google tells them, that's what we're using. It might not be the most accurate thing. So what sites are we going to ensure that if we use this name, we can own this name?
That's a great question. So what I would first start is with the USPTO.gov and make sure it says .gov and not .com, right? Because there can be some, you know, fraudulent sites and things like that. So start with the USPTO.gov. And you want to start broad because you want to see, does anybody own the name? But also, too, this is where it's important to hire an attorney because under the law, it's not about what's the same, but what can be deemed confusingly similar. So if you go to the USPTO.gov and you search Starbucks, right? Mm-hmm. Probably nothing will come up and you'll be like, oh, I'm good. I can go start a coffee company. Well, Starbucks is going to have a problem with that because under the law, it's not about what's the same, but what can be deemed confusingly similar. So first I would start there and then I would start with Google and then possibly social media handles as well. And then just searching domains. But it's also important that we understand the nuances of the law, right? There's 45 different classes under trademark law. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can have brands that coexist in a marketplace. That's why we have Dove Chocolate, Dove Soap, Mac Makeup, Mac Computer, Delta Airline, Delta Faucet, Pandora Jewelry, Pandora Music. So your name might come up, but if it's a plumbing industry and you're in the beauty industry, you may can coexist, right? But where a lot of times people fall short, entrepreneurs, is they will say, okay, my name is available. I'm going to file the name and they just pick a class. And now they think they own that name in its entirety. You know, recently I seen an interview from Caesar from Black Ink, and he talked about how he actually was surprised when he had his dog fighting issue that he was let go from a show, the show that he thought he owned because he created Black Ink and a Black Ink brand. Well, what Caesar didn't know was, and he filed his own trademarks too, and he thought he had his trademarks registered, but he filed them for tattooing services and I think for apparel. But when he did his deal with Viacom with the reality show, they went and filed the name for entertainment services. And so there's a big difference there. So it's important that you understand those nuances.
So inside that, we shouldn't do this on our own. So some people will say, I can figure this out by myself. Yeah. Get an attorney.
Get an attorney. I have about 5,000 clients and a fourth of them either did it themselves first and then they had to come to us later, or they went to one of these internet sourcing companies, right? Thinking they're hiring someone who will guide them and lead them, but they're just really data transfer companies where they'll take your data and transfer it into the information system.
So why isn't an LLC or corporation enough to have full ownership in the business?
And so that is also a great question. And the reason is because as business owners, I always say an educated entrepreneur is a successful one. We have to understand the different legal vehicles and why they are here, right? And a lot of times people think, oh, if I got an LLC, I'm good. But the LLC might not even be the best entity type for you, right? But what we need to understand is what comes with that formation of an entity. Mm-hmm. So under the law, when we file our entities, whether it's an LLC or a corporation or a partnership, under the law, under our Secretary of State, we're forming it within our state. But that says that by us creating that company, it's going to give us a legal shield to protect us, the individual owner, from any legal liability that is to arise out of our business. We also may get some tax benefits from that as well, right? But nowhere in the law does it say it's going to give you exclusive ownership rights to that name, right? So you could form your business, let's say, in the state of Illinois. But if someone owns the trademark, and Illinois said you can have this business name, but if someone owns the trademark, let's say in the state of Florida, they can shut your business down in Illinois. So that's why it's important as business owners, we understand these different legal vehicles and how they work and how they're set up to protect us. The trademark is there to protect our name, our logos, our slogans. And not a lot of people know, but you can also trademark a sound as well, like You Got Mail.
Interesting. So you brought up the state thing. So now mm-hmm. It makes me wonder, obviously there's a difference between filing the trademark in the state. Can we file federally
yes.
as well? So like talk about the nuances in that.
That's a great question as well, because you can file your trademark on the state level, right? But when you file it federally, you get a lot more coverage. And I always say technology is moving faster than the law. So back in the day, you used to have to prove interstate commerce in order to get federal registration. So a lot of people use the state law system to file their trademarks when before the internet, right? Because now that we have the internet, as long as your business is a www.com or you're on social media and you're offering your services or your products to anyone across the world, basically, now you have interstate commerce. So with the internet, it kind of took that away. So you want to go for the broader coverage most as possible, because, you know, there is a case and it arose out of the state of Illinois, and it was in the 1950s where there was this restaurant, a small mom and pop restaurant, and they sold burgers, shakes and fries. Right. And so then there was a Florida restaurant that adopted the same name, and they sold burgers, shakes and fries as well. And so the Florida restaurant began to grow very fast and very rapidly. And there was supposed to be an agreement that they would never come into the state of Illinois. Well, we know money talk and bullcrap walk, and they came in the state of Illinois. Well, the state of Illinois restaurant filed a declaratory judgment under federal law to kick them out of the state of Illinois. And the court asked them, in the state of Illinois, they were the first users, right? The court asked them, well, how far does your customers come to your restaurant? And this is a restaurant. It's like in Mattoon, Illinois, which is like maybe like 200 miles south of Chicago, but it's right off a major highway in Illinois. And they said, well, they come from about a 20-mile radius. And so the court said, okay, well, this company cannot come within a 20-mile radius of your restaurant. But now you can't go outside a 20-mile radius of your restaurant because they have the federal registration. And unfortunately, federal yeah. trumps state. So do you know?
So like, they boxed them in.
They boxed them in. But what's the name of that company? Can you guys imagine? Like, what was the name of that restaurant?
McDonald's.
That's my first thought.
Not McDonald's. What's the other one?
Burger King?
Burger King.
Is Burger King at the time?
Burger King. So if you Google right now the original Burger King, it's still going to come up today, and it's 2024, and that restaurant in Mattoon, Illinois is still open as the original Burger King.
Oh, so explain the story again. There was another Burger King before Burger King?
Exactly. In Illinois. So the big corporation Burger King, it originated out of Florida, out of the state of Florida. But the state of Illinois Burger King, they were the first users, but they didn't have federal registration. Mm. So that's why it's so important that we...
So are they still there?
They're still there to this day.
And it's one store.
It's just one store because they can never grow outside of that 20-mile radius.
But they could put like four stores inside the 20-mile, but that don't even make sense.
They wouldn't even...
So there's one Burger King that is not Burger King. It's a restaurant or a fast food?
It's a restaurant, and they sell burger, shakes, and fries. And it's called the original Burger King. So if you ever Google Burger King Mattoon, Illinois, it will come up.
So the, I mean, that's an incredible story.
But
it makes more sense to file federally, or is it?
Yes.
I'm thinking it's more expensive as well.
Well, it is, but sometimes the state registration is not as effective and impactful as you need it to be, especially in a day and age where the internet is here, right? Mm-hmm. And see, another thing why that story is so important is because trademarks are legacy builders, right? A trademark can outlive you. Coca-Cola been registered since 1893, Mercedes since 1903, right? And so a trademark can, like, so the original people who created that Burger King, that was a family-owned business. So imagine what they could have did and expanded with their company, but they are now attached to this judgment out of federal court since the 1960s. So it limited their legacy. So I always tell people, you want to secure your brand, not only to secure your bag, but you want to secure your brand so you can secure your legacy.
So what's the difference between trademark and copyright?
So the difference between a trademark and a copyright is a creative expression fixed out of a tangible medium, right? A trademark is a source identifier for consumers to relate back to where product or service come from. So I'll break it down for you. So like a copyright, you can protect a photograph, a painting, a picture, you know, songs, art. It cannot be in your head, but it has to be fixed into a tangible medium. But
there he goes, Dirk, yo.
Yeah, Dirk had to come in the interview, represent Chicago, but it's okay. That was good.
Copyright that sound.
Yes, right? But, and so here's the thing with the copyright. A lot of entrepreneurs don't understand that whoever the creator of the copyright is, that is who is the owner of the copyright. Under the law, it said the creator who birthed the creation is the copyright owner. Now, why is that important? Because as entrepreneurs, we hire graphic designers, we hire photographers, we hire people to come in and create creative works for our businesses, right? Have you ever hired someone to create a logo for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And by paying them, you think you own that logo, it's yours, right?
Well, I know different, but yeah.
Yeah, right? Most people, and it sounds like it makes sense, but unfortunately, because they created the logo, they're actually the copyright owner of the logo, unless you have them transfer their rights in writing. Now, some people think, well, it could be an oral. No, it has to be in writing. And so usually you will have them transfer it through a work for hire agreement. So like a company like Disney, who is creating amazing copyrights and multiple copyrights, the company is not creating, it's actually people there, but all of those people who are creating it, they're on work for hire agreement.
So okay, so how do you increase the value of a trademark?
I always tell people you have to start with great quality products and services for the value of your trademarks to increase and go up, right? You know, people, I'm a brand buyer, right? I like certain brands, like it's certain soaps that I use. I'm only going to use a certain type of deodorant, right? Like I'm a brand buyer and a lot of people are, right? Like some people, I don't drink pop anymore. We call it pop from Chicago, right? What do y'all call it here in New York?
Soda.
Yeah. Okay. So are you guys like a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi kind of?
Oh man, it's going to be tough. If I had to, it would probably be Coke.
It'd be Coke. Yeah. Oh my God, you're probably gonna get in trouble because you're from New York, right? And they like, it's a real battle with Pepsi and Coke. What about you?
I don't drink soda.
Yeah.
But if you had to, because I don't drink it either, but I have a pick if I have to pick one.
If I had to, I don't know. I would probably say Coca-Cola because I think the brand is stronger than Pepsi. I just identify that as a strong, like I don't eat fast food, but if I had to, I would probably, McDonald's is a stronger brand than Wendy's.
Right. So the fact that he just has that mentally in his mind that these brands are stronger, right? It's because of how they are boldly and notoriously representing the brand in the marketplace. And as business owners, that's what we have to do in order to increase the value, right? Mm-hmm. You guys did a great job with increasing the value of Earn Your Leisure, right? And so now people want to be attached to it. They want to be a part of it. And so it's just like, you got to just like, you know, for me, when I picked the biz lawyer as an Instagram handle, I was just trying to pick a cute name on Instagram. But because my services is great, my team is great, now people want to make sure when they do their trademarks, they do it with the biz lawyer because they know the type of quality of services are going to come with it. And so that increases our revenue and our value.
Yeah, this is something that we've learned. We filed a bunch of trademarks. Mm-hmm. You talk about the time it takes, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously we got the first step. We get the attorney. We did the search. Mm-hmm. Talk about the time it takes. I know you brought up first rights too. That's important too.
That's very.
Yeah. Can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So first thing first, you want to do the search. And, you know, a lot of times people, it's important you do a search, not only with the USPTO.gov, but also to see who is using the trademark in the marketplace or whatever, because common law rights can fall into play as well. But then once we do the search, we actually will issue an opinion letter with the search results. We'll go through the opinion letter. You know, one thing that I think is very different about our firm, aside of the fact of it probably being, you know, black owned by me, the female. But one thing we do is we counsel and advise our clients based on the search results. Not a lot of people do that. They do the research and they just file the application or they don't, right? We tell our clients, and also too, if we see challenges, we create strategy on how we can possibly win a trademark, especially if the client already has invested, you know, thousands of dollars into the brand. But once we do that, we get it on file. Now, here's the thing. The trademark application used to take about 3 to 4 months for the government to review it. But now, because after COVID, I feel like a lot of people was empowered to become entrepreneurs, but also a lot of people are more educated. So people have filed trademarks. Actually, during COVID, the most trademarks ever in history was filed. Okay. Really? Yes. And so, now it has pushed the government review time back to actually 8 to 9 months. So now it takes them 8 to 9 months just to review the application. Once they review the application, they can either approve it or issue an office action. If they approve it, it goes to what's called publication for opposition. Now, publication for opposition allows anyone in the public 30 days to oppose your trademark. This is why it's important that we file trademarks with integrity. And also, too, we watch our trademarks, because if you file a trademark like, I'm Coco Chanel, Chanel's going to come and oppose the trademark and probably send you a cease and desist letter right away when they file out that you filed the trademark. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about it is that as a brand owner, you want to watch your trademark, because people can be filing things confusingly similar to your brand as well. And the government, they try to stop things, but sometimes they let things through as well. So once you go through that phase, if no one opposed the trademark, you can have registration within 12 weeks from the 30-day deadline. So that can take about 9 to 18 months right now to get a trademark registered. I'm sorry, 12 to 18 months to get it registered. But let's go back. If the government takes issue with the application, they can issue an office action. Bless you.
Thank you.
The office action can require either a substantive response or a non-substantive response. If it's a non-substantive response, that means something minor is going on and the government wants you to fix it. And that's no problem. But if it's a substantive issue, the government is refusing it on a likelihood of confusion or failure to function as a trademark, or the trademark being merely descriptive. And you will have to present legal arguments with a legal brief to argue why the person should have the trademark.
Mm.
So talk about the different categories of trademark. You touched on it briefly, but like, can you go into like detail, like somebody's trademark or something? Like, if it's merchandise, that doesn't necessarily mean that like TV is different, right? So they should mm-hmm. kind of be aware of that going into it, so they don't just trademark one thing, they trademark everything.
Right.
Talk about like why that's important.
That is so important. And I was just, you know, I always share this story because I think it's a lesson. Actually, two stories. So one, LeBron James filed a trademark, right? And he filed
Taco Tuesday.
Well, Taco Tuesday, he did file Taco Tuesday, but Taco Tuesday was rejected for a failure to function as a trademark, which I totally disagree with the government on that, because I do think it functioned as a trademark in the way LeBron was using it, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron should have hired me to argue that for him. I was ready for it, too. And actually, Now, I think Taco Tuesday actually fails to function as a trademark in a restaurant setting, because all type of restaurants can say Taco Tuesday. So when it's failing to function as a trademark, it just means that people in the marketplace are readily talking about it, right? That's why Birdman said, if I knew what I knew then, I would have trademarked the word bling bling. Mm-hmm. Because once the words are viral, it kind of loses its source identifier and it can't relate back to where the source come from. That's why Black Lives Matter, it's not a trademark. It's not registered. That's why when that whole story came about Kanye West and these guys going to stop Kanye West from using White Lives Matter, it was just a whole, it was all wrong. One, the guys wasn't going to get White Lives Matter, because if you can't trademark Black Lives Matter, who can trademark White Lives Matter? But also, two, Kanye actually could approve prior use if he wanted to fight this case. But then also, the guys just filed the application. I think Kanye showed up wherever he was with Candace Owens, like on October 3rd. They filed the application on October 4th. And then every news story ran with it, like they're going to stop him. And it's like, what did I just tell you guys? It's like the government.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
8 months to look at the application. Mm-hmm. Just because you file an application does not mean it's registered. Just like the guy recently who just said, I just filed No Diddy. I own No Diddy now. No, you don't own No Diddy now. You just filed an application and actually you just wasted your money, because you cannot file a living being's trademark, I mean their name, without their consent. Hmm. You could go and look at all these attempts to file a Donald Trump trademark or Obama trademark, and it fails because you have to have consent of the living individual. And if they die and they're a legacy, you have to get consent from their estate. That's why Bob Marley family has been able to sue so many people. Now, to answer your question, it's so important that you make sure that you cover all the classes, because LeBron James did file a trademark, and it's for I Am More Than an Athlete. And the trademark office actually approved it. Well, there is actually a trademark that's registered for More Than an Athlete, right? Now, it's from a nonprofit organization, and it looks like, well, they did it themselves, right? And so their trademark was actually registered. So then here comes LeBron James in one class, though. They registered in one class. LeBron James then files the trademark in all these other different classes, right? And the trademark office approved it, because remember, I told you certain trademarks can coexist in the marketplace. Well, now that person is trying to sue LeBron James for $33 million, right? But does the registration support the $33 million claim? And I don't know what happened, but it looks like the person may have thought when they filed their application that they were also covering apparel, because it says charitable services for selling like T-shirts, right? Mm-hmm. And they filed it for service class, but apparel actually falls in a different class. So it's so very important. Actually, out of the 45 classes, 1 through 34 is products, and then 35 through 45 is services. So it's very important that you understand these nuances so you can know how to fully cover yourself.
Yeah, educational services, business services. And they'll kill me if I didn't say that bling bling is Lil Wayne's word.
Shout out
to Wayne. Yeah.
So it's Lil Wayne. Well, I just know Birdman said it. But it lacks the source, right?
Exactly. He was tight about it that he didn't trademark it. But
yeah.
I just got one quick question about that. It's related. Before we switch topic, if somebody does trademark bling bling, right, or somebody does trademark No Diddy or pause something like that, like, How do you really make money from that? That's what I was always curious about. Like, let's say you actually were able to trademark it. People are going to say it all day, mm-hmm. every day, right? You're mm-hmm. not going to be able to physically get paid for any time somebody says that, right?
Right.
So does it really even mean anything if somebody did trademark it?
So what it would mean, so for instance, if say, so No Diddy is, it can't happen. But say, for instance, it could happen. And he could put it on T-shirts, right? And he could start selling T-shirts and apparel. Now he can stop anyone from selling T-shirts. You can't stop us from saying No Diddy out our mouth, though, right? So it's not like you own the power of the word, but mm-hmm. you own it as it relates to that particular class.
So, like, let's go. Let's use Bling Bling.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody tries to put that in an ad for a commercial, that would mm-hmm. be a situation where you could put a cease and desist, or you could have royalties paid, or how would that work?
So it will depend how they are using it, right? Okay. Because if they're using like Bling Bling, but they're using like the copywritten music that, you know, Cash Money created, right? Yeah. Then that will be like they have to get clearance on the copyright and things like that. But maybe if they're getting a whole different person saying Bling Bling and they're saying it in a different manner, that comes up to a question, because is it in the public domain? Right. Mm. So it depends on how they're using it. Just like with this AI stuff. Right. As it relates to AI, you know, it's AI when it's intentionally trying to sound like an artist and it is sounding like an artist and people are thinking it's the artist. That may be an issue. But I don't know if you guys remember like the song Panda when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
That was Future.
Yeah. We remember that.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
But that's how designers sound. So Future can't, that's how the man sound, right? So you can't stop him, because that's, I swear I thought it was Future, but that was someone else, but that's his sound. You can't stop that. But I think what's crazy with this technology, with AI and things like that, is the fact that if it's intentionally trying to sound like, you know, a Kanye or a 50 Cent, they should have the right, because that's their livelihood. That's the right of their publicity. And if, especially the thing is it for commercial purposes, though? Are you getting paid from the AI, right? Like, you know, I'm from Chicago and we had a store and it was called Dominic's, right? And so Dominic's used Michael Jordan's likeness to promote steaks. And Michael Jordan gave them no permission to do that. And he sued them and won a multi-million-dollar lawsuit from that. Because you cannot use a celebrity likeness without their permission for commercial purposes.
Especially when he has a steakhouse in Chicago.
You know, I actually think he took the money he won from the lawsuit and opened the steakhouse in Chicago. And now Dominic's is nowhere else to be found. Yeah.
is there a time, because I mean, we've gotten emails, when you have to actually renew the trademark? Do they expire at some point? And what is that process like when you have to renew it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So unlike your annual reports, because a lot of people think, well, I got to do this every year like I do my, you know, my corporations and things. No, it's a trademark registration. After you have it registered, you have to maintain the registration between your 5th and 6th year anniversary, and then your 9th and 10th year anniversary, and then every 10 years after, right? So what you're showing the government is that you're still using a brand. So remember I told you guys earlier, Coca-Cola was registered in 1893. Now, the thing is, Coca-Cola, when they filed the trademark, they filed it for their actual logo at the time, right? With the cursive writing and things like that. So now every 10 years, Coca-Cola have to show that they're still using that same logo in order to keep that historically marked trademark. And so sometimes you'll see them come out with a retro line and things like that. And that's to continue to show the actual use. And you know, sometimes we get on this topic because people be like, well, should I trademark my logo or should I just trademark my name, right? And I say sometimes you should do both. It depends. But the thing is, when you just do your logo, that's the brand, that's the trademark. So it's so important, like a McDonald's. McDonald's did the trademark in standard characters, where they own McDonald's in standard characters, but they also own the logo with the golden arches for McDonald's, because McDonald's has changed their logos about 9 different times over the past 70 years. So a trademark will last as long as you use it, you will not lose it, but you do have to keep up the registration maintenance.
And each time you renew, you pay.
You pay, absolutely. Okay. But here's the thing, because I know why you're asking that question, because you're probably getting a lot of spam mail asking you to pay these random people. So you got to be careful with that, because, okay, When we file our trademarks, the USPTO is public record, right? So all you're going to get all type of spam mail. You're going to get all type. And this is why it's important that you're represented by an attorney, because the government will never contact you. They're going to contact your attorney, right? But the spammers and the scammers, they'll send you saying you got to maintain your registration at year four. So you could go ahead and pay them. And then now a lot of people trademarks get canceled because they think they paid the government to maintain it when they paid a scammer. So it's very important. And I want to just say this. As of November of 2023, they are now calling people. When you file your trademark, because the government asks for your phone number, they're calling, demanding that you pay $425 or they're going to cancel your trademark. They're acting like they're the government and that type of, do not fall for the scam. Hang up automatically and tell them, you know, you will contact the USPTO directly. A government official from the USPTO will never demand you pay them over the phone. You have to pay your fees through the website.
So what's a service mark?
So a service mark is basically like, I'm a lawyer, right? And so I offer a service. It's just a word you can use interchangeably with a trademark. So you can say I have a service mark or a trademark. It doesn't matter.
It's the same thing?
It's the same thing. Yeah. Okay. But you wouldn't say a service mark for a product, basically.
Okay. What about, so we got the different categories here, but some of these brands are global. And so the international trademark, this is something that people have little to no knowledge about, right? Yeah. Having to trademark internationally requires a lot of things. Capital number one, but making sure you have the trademark in each different country. Talk about that process.
That is so very important, especially if you are going to have an international brand, right? I'm working with some clients in Ghana right now that has a really huge brand where they do a really big festival. And, you know, a lot of us are going over there for the festival in December, right? And so it's not only important.
I think we might know those guys.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, but it's so important that, you know, we protect that brand, not only here in the States, but also in Africa as well. But the thing is, so there is a, there's a treaty that the government has with about 80 other different countries where you can actually, it's called the Madrid Protocol, where you can actually, when you file your trademark with the US, you can apply with all these different countries, but you have to pay all these different country fees and things like that. Now, that is available to you. I don't recommend it. The reason I don't recommend it is because each country has their own laws. They have their own different processes. And also, too, we want to clear those marks in those countries. So when I have a client that wants to do an international brand, we hire local counsel in those countries. And you'll be surprised. Like, we did a trademark in India. And just because of the conversion rate, it was very affordable for my client to do what he needed to do in there. But it's just a different process. And, you know, we want someone local of the land so that they can guide us and counsel us, right? I wouldn't be a good attorney if I say, yeah, let's just put it through the system and not blindly, right? We need to clear that. And we need counsel and advisement from that region to help us with that.
So how much does it cost to trademark something?
So it could cost, well, let me tell you this. The filing fees with the government starts at $250 and can go up to like $425, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on who you work with, right? There's a, you know, attorneys that charge, you know, from here all the way to $5,000. Now I can tell you what we charge at our firm. We charge $1,500 to trademark a mark that includes the filing, that includes the class, and that includes us doing the research.
What's the class? What is that? What does that
mean? That's the 45. So one class, right? And so if they wanted to add additional classes, it's an additional $1,000.
So if I want to do media, education, apparel, three classes, 15? Mm-hmm. No?
Because media actually falls under the same class as education, okay, right? So like, well, I'll tell you. My favorite class is class 41. And it's the education and entertainment class, right? And so some of my clients love me. And the reason being is because they'll come to me and be like, Rosina, I want a trademark for coaching because I'm a coach. I'm like, okay, but you also have a podcast. You also have this course. You're also educating people. You do events. You're hiring people to come speak. And all that can be covered under that one class.
So, okay. So people can do it themselves though too, right?
Like people can
LegalZoom.com, something like that.
Well, see, I didn't want to say their name, but you said it. So since you said their name, a lot of people fall short there as well. Yeah. And they, because they're not going to offer you legal counsel and advisement. They say you can pay more for that and they'll connect you with someone, right? But it's kind of chaotic because you don't have that relationship. You know, people always ask us, what's the difference between you and LegalZoom? And I tell them the value is in a relationship. You know, I run a law firm, right? I care about my clients and, you know, I'm promoting my clients' business. My client's success is my success, right? If I'm in a situation where I can present an opportunity to someone who can help bring my client along, I'm going to do that for my client, right? But also too, I'm like, so with those type of companies, you're filling out that paperwork, right? And they're going to just take the information you gave them and put it into the system, right? But again, like I just said, I have clients come to me and be like, Rosalyn, I want to do coaching. But then I see so much more for them, right? So it's the custom made, like, you know, it's not this cookie cutter service. It's like me having my CPA, right? I'm able to have conversations with my CPA, like, look, CPA, I want to buy a house this year. And because I want to buy a house, right, I need my taxes to show you this. And I want my, you know, my business to show profit because I want to file my taxes. Yes, I really don't want to pay a lot of money. But in order to qualify to get for this loan, I need, you know, my taxes to look a certain type of way. So it's that value of the relationship. Instead of somebody going and filing your taxes and then writing everything off as a deduction, and now it looks like your business had no value, and now it's like I look like a business owner who is not generating money.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. If somebody uses your firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably not working with the person, right? Directly.
Correct.
What's the process? Somebody wants to file a trademark,
mm-hmm.
walk me through this process and the client experience that they're going to receive.
That's a great question. So I have about 15 team members, and sometimes I do get called in, but not often, because right now I am trying to master this experience as a CEO, right, and promote the business, promote the firm, and be the educator and a voice for it. But so when you book, you could start by either booking a discovery call or just booking your trademark. We have some great people because they watch my content. They just book the trademark and then they will have an onboarding call, right? Or they will, if you have questions before you book, you will have a discovery call. And it will be one of my team members who's not an attorney that will just explain to you the general process, like I kind of broke down here. Once that happens, we will pass it along to our paralegals and then they will do the research, right? For the name, they will prepare the letter and then it will be reviewed by one of the attorneys and approved by one of the attorneys. And then you will book, we'll email you your opinion letter with the search results with a link to book a call with your attorney. So with our office, you're actually going to have at least two calls. One, just to learn the general process. It's like an onboarding call. The second, you will have your actual one-on-one consultation with an attorney, right?
Who's the, how many attorneys you have?
I have three.
You have three attorneys?
Uh-huh.
So at some point in time, is there ever a relationship directly with the attorney?
Yeah, when you're on that one-on-one call with them.
No, but I'm saying like as far as, so like I have a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Real estate lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I just talk to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a big firm, I probably wouldn't have that personal relationship. I might talk to him like once a year.
Yeah. So I know you guys was at Rachel Rogers conference and you guys interviewed Rachel, right? So Rachel was my first coach, right? And I told Rachel and we fought back and forth. And I was like, Rachel, I got to talk to every single client. And she was like, well, how are you going to make $1 million in your business? Because you can't talk to every single client. It's just not possible, right? And so because we represent entrepreneurs, some of them understand that. And some of them don't. And so as a business owner, which she taught me and I, you know, I give it to her because I didn't want to let that part go. I was like, I got to talk to everybody. And she was like, no, Rosalyn, you can't talk to everybody. And she was right. And we fought about this for like 5 months, right? And but it was the best advice she could have given me because if I can, like, I couldn't have grew the firm the way I grew on it, right? I can't employ 15 different people, right? Which I think is more bigger and it's a bigger impact. And also I would say this, the firm is ranked number 40 out of over 28,000 law firms, not because of me doing the work, but because of what my team has done, right? I'm ranked number 15 out of over 33,000 trademark attorneys, not just because of me. I didn't do this by myself. It's because of my team. And so what I understand as a CEO and a business owner is everybody is not your client, right? So I do have some clients from the very beginning who like, Rosina, I only want to deal with you, right? And sometimes I'm like, look, you might fall out the, I got a solidified process. And these numbers where I'm ranked, they come from the USPTO data. It's numbers, right? Jay-Z said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, right? And so I don't want you to fall out that process that I created, right? My job as the CEO right now is to make sure that my team is having a great experience working as my team so that my clients have an even better experience as my clients, right? And so I think too, you know, I have to defend this all the time as a Black woman, as a CEO, right? But when you look at other larger law firms and other people that are not our color, you're not talking to the CEO. You're not working directly with the person named on a door, right? And so I had to shift my mindset. And now even in my marketing and speaking and talking, I'm educating, I'm speaking right. You know, there was another coach I had, she said, you know, you got to call out Lazarus' name. You got to speak directly to the clients you want to work with. You get what I'm saying? And so there are some people be like, I just want to work with you. Well, you know, sometimes I have events and things like that. Pull up on me on an event. We can network, you know, we can take pictures together. But I really need you to work with my team because it's just going to be a better client experience for
pull
you.
Pull up on me. We appreciate that. And we appreciate the Jay-Z reference, of course.
Yes.
So in order for the client to be prepared for this call, mm-hmm. right, I'm sure you're over 5,000 trademarks you've already filed. Mm-hmm. What are some of the mistakes that you're seeing from the client side before they even get to you, right? Mm-hmm. Other than trying to do it themselves, but we got that. What are some of the things that you're seeing from your landscape that says, all right, you should have this prepared before you want to even get to this process?
I think the biggest mistake that we see is that people have already did the incorporation. They already got their EIN number and they like, I got the IRS gave me my EIN number, mm-hmm. so I know it's good. They don't care nothing about your name. They just want your social security number so they can see your tax bill, right? So they give you this EIN number so they send your tax bill. So what we see is like people actually going out and building first. And then we have to have that harsh conversation with them actually rebranding or starting over, right? You know, it's very disheartening when we have to counsel clients through actual phase out. Or a rebrand period, because that can be mentally detrimental to them, right? They're like, wait a minute, I gotta tear everything down that I did it. So it's important that we start with the research first. Like we want to clear the name first before we adopt the name.
Hmm. So being on social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has that affected your business, and how do you walk a thin line? Because it's like, social media influencers sometimes are not taken serious mm-hmm. in like the real business world, right? So how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So and that's hard, right? Because I think one of the mistakes I made was building the business brand on the platform, the Biz Lawyer, right? And now trying to transform it because everybody do want to work with the Biz Lawyer, right? But I'm like educating them and I speak in we and things like that. But I know there was a case recently where like a young lady who was like a public official was twerking in Tulum or something. And it was on social media and she, you know, she lost her seat as a public official. So for me, when I'm making decisions, I'm not just making decisions for Rosina anymore. I'm not making decisions for just me and my kids. I'm making decisions for my team and 15 other families. And I'm also a brand representation of my client's brand, right? And so I don't, you know, and I'm an attorney. So I hold that to a high standard. So, you know, you're not going to, like, sometimes I love trap music, though. You know, sometimes that's my weakness. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's your superpower.
It really is, because I grew up in that as well. Like, and, you know, I had to turn on Jay-Z, The Streets Is Watching, you know, to remind people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people will really play games with you, you mm. know? And it's situations where, you know, you see things and you want to, you know, react and respond. But it's like, that's not for this. That's not the platform for this. And I'm an 80s baby. I don't do things on social media, right? I don't, you know, if I have issues with people or anything, I either want to talk to you so you can hear my tone, so you could feel me, right? Or I want to see you and we talk about it. I think a lot of times people, things just get heightened and elevated because of how people use social media. And so I just try to keep it professional and keep it cute, and that's it.
So when we talk about the other side of this, after we've got the trademark,
mm-hmm.
we're protecting the trademark, but trademark infringement is something that's real.
It's real.
So most people don't know the process of that, because it feels like every time you see something that's even remotely close to your business, it's like, we got to send a cease and desist.
Yeah.
What is that process like? How long does that take? Because, I mean, yeah. it feels like it can go on for years.
Yeah. So what I say is, it's so very important that we watch our brands, right? Because I think if we react sooner to the infringement, sometimes the infringers will be more readily to go away. But if we take a while and we don't respond to them and we leave them for years to years to come, and they didn't build the brand and look like ours, now it's harder for them to tear, you know, take it down, right? So what I say, and we have a template that we give our clients, because we do charge for a cease and desist letter. It's $1,500 to send the opposite side, and we might have to go back and forth with them and things like that. But we have a template that kind of says, look, I see you using my brand. If you don't stop using my brand, I'm going to get my lawyers involved. It's a little nicer, you know, but, trying to talk to people. What I don't recommend is sliding to people DM, talking about, look, that's my brand, take it down. You know, like, you got to be professional, because people are going to act accordingly to how you come, right? But also, too, what I would say is, for infringement, it's so very important that you react right away, because the lack of not doing anything or saying anything can tarnish your brand. And also, you can possibly lose the rights to your brand. There was a company in California where they were like Fitbug or something like that. And then when Fitbit got really big, right? You remember Fitbits? Yeah. I don't know if they still around, but they tried to sue them for trademark infringement. And they were the first ones, but... And the government, I mean, the court said, well, where you been all this time? They said, well, we wanted to just see first if they were going to be successful. And they said, no, you can't wait till someone's successful to stop them. And they wasn't. And also, there's a defense in where we call a lack of acquiescence. You consented to my use just because you didn't do anything. Mm.
So, okay. So for your business, what's the next elevation? Where you see yourself going?
That's a good question. There is a place where I feel like, you know, and I don't want to say it's like a sense of entitlement or anything like that, but I'm like, damn, we like ranked in the top 1% in the country.
How do you get these rankings? How does that work?
So they actually pull all the data from the USPTO, and they pull it based on your success rate, right? So based on like how many, so there are other companies that you have mentioned, right? And they score you, right? And so they will score you based on 100% scale. So a lot of companies file a whole bunch of trademarks, but they don't get them successfully registered, right? So their score might be a 37, right? Whereas we're filing a lot of trademarks and our success rate is very high because we're getting them registered, right? So that's why we do the research, we do the consultation and things like that. And so with that being said, and with us where we're ranking, you know, I was at a place where I was in a room with corporate counsel, because the one thing I think is troubling for a lot of Black business owners is sustainability. Right? How do you sustain your business? Right? And so I just told you guys, we try to charge a flat fee rate. And you know, they said, you know, Black women, we're the fastest growing entrepreneurs, but we're also the fastest growing to have our businesses shut down, right? My business has been open for 11 years, but sustainability is something that we do struggle with, because we charge a flat fee rate and we represent clients who really are, they're just starting their business out. And so, you know, I was like, okay, so I'm in this room with corporate counsels in Chicago. It's like 150 councils in there represent big corporations. And, you know, they're talking about diversity. And there's a panel of diversity inclusion. But on the panel, you know, Meta is represented, Capital One, I think it was a big clothing brand, and a law firm. And they're asking them questions of how do they make sure that they're getting diversity inclusion. And they talk about how they go hire the law firms or whatever. And they're making sure that the law firms actually have diverse associates or attorneys working within the law firm. And so I stood up and I said, well, hey, my name is Rosina Pierce, and I am actually a Black female owner of a trademark law firm. And we are actually ranked in the top 1% of the country when it comes to trademarks. I said, you know, Capital One, I don't know how much your trademark portfolio budget is, but I know, you know, Visa has about a $35 million budget for their trademarks a year. I just wanted to know, like, how can our firm get business from a company like yours, right? And they said, well, you just got to come in rooms like this and meet people and network with people. But after that panel, everybody just walked out and walked out the door, right? So I think that's the struggle, you know, when it comes to sustainability of Black-owned businesses and things like that, being able to tap into, you know, different corporations in order to get money. So we're looking for corporate clients so that we can also help and provide better resources to our small business owner through government funding.
Yeah, part of sustainability is you got to have profitability.
Exactly.
I mean, that's very important. So, I mean, it feels like this is a niche part of law. Mm-hmm. So are you, as part of the rankings, you being so high, is it the affordability that you put inside of the system, or how have you set prices to make sure that you could be representative of our community and obviously attract corporate clients as well?
Yeah, so it is. So that's the thing. So with my fees, they always have been affordable, right? Mm-hmm. Always. Like, I can remember back where, I'm not even going to say the number I used to charge when it was just me, right? But, you know, I think $1,500 is very affordable for a small business owner starting their business, right? I know, you know, different ways. And I always tell people, they be like, well, Rosine, how am I going to get the money? Well, right now we have a program called Affirm that will actually kind of like Afterpay, where you can, you know, apply for that. But what I also tell them is, look, as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to be creative when it comes to raising capital, right? That's just have to be something within you, and you have to learn that and master that fast, because if you plan on having a team, payroll, product delivery, inventory, you're going to have to figure out how to raise capital, right? And so one thing you want to do is just make sure your foundation is right by starting with a lawyer. And I think our firm fees are very affordable, but also too, like a Visa, like if we can just get, you know, heck, $1 million of that $35 million budget, that will be a tremendous help to our business. And we have shown and proven that we can handle this type of work in our niche area.
Well, want to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
How can the people contact you? What's the website, social, and all that stuff?
Yeah, so follow me on Instagram at The Biz Lawyer. I have to be honest, I am not good with other social media handles right now, but my team is getting me there. But we are on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. But also go to securethebrand.com and you can book a discovery call, talk to the team, or just get your trademark started with us.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for rocking with us. See you next week.
Peace.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.